Turning your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 4, we want to continue our study in the book of Ephesians. We've come to chapter 4, and we are now dealing with verses 20 through 24. And so turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Let me read verse 20 through 24. The Apostle Paul says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Our Father, as we come to this portion of Scripture, may it be, Lord, that you would teach us regarding the faith that you have granted in Christ to us, that we might be stirred up, Lord, to run in the paths of holiness. Grant us understanding. Grant us conviction. Grant us encouragement. For, Lord, all is from your hand if we are in you. And so we plead, Lord, that you would bless our time. You would keep us, Lord, from any error, that you would enable us to preach aright your word. I do pray in your precious name. Amen. We left off last time in verse 20 and 21, where the Apostle Paul comes and says to the people of God that when it comes to the area of sin and working sin, you've not learned Christ. For in Christ you are to be righteous. In Christ you are to be holy. And so he puts to their hearts and minds this blessed principle that if we have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, and if we have learned Christ, then we will not be governed by uncleanness and greediness, but with righteousness and holiness. And that's what he deals with here in verse 22 through 24. The Apostle Paul makes another contrast. He has been doing so throughout this chapter, and now he brings it home again into the fact of what it means to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, what it means to be a believer, and what it means to be an unbeliever, and encouraging the people of God regarding their conduct and regarding their walk. He expands on the content that he has given to us when he says you have not learned Christ in this way, found in the person and work of Christ. And he comes to show and deal with the subject by a very powerful method that is contrasting what we were spiritually before grace and what we are spiritually after grace in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he comes in verse 22 and he says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man. And later on in verse 23, we are to put on the new man. He shows to us that there are basically two realms in which every man and woman fall into. You're either in the realm of the old man or you're in the realm of the new man. Everyone is in one category or the other. The old man he has been describing, and he describes the old man as he is in his sin and in this realm of darkness. So we saw that the former conduct, the old man, is one that grows in corruption. It is corrupt, a realm of darkness, a realm of sin that dominates, a deceitfulness of lust that come into the heart and mind and deceive, thinking that one can gain pleasure, thinking that one can be satisfied, when in the end it is only to their destruction. And so he defines once again what the old man is, but that's not all. That's what he's been dealing with when he speaks to the people of God, that they are to no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in verse 17, in the futility of their mind. That's what is that defines the old man, having their understanding darkened. They cannot see spiritual truth. They can't see at all the glory of Christ. They are, as it were, enmeshed in their sins, which is darkness to the heart and to the soul, and they do not understand, alienated away from the very life of God. They have no relationship with God, but they are under His wrath because of ignorance, because of blindness of their heart. Not necessarily their minds, for they may know certain facts, but their heart is blind. There is ignorance. And so all of these areas that the apostle describes in verse 17 all the way through 19 is that which defines the old man. And what the apostle is saying here is that we must, as believers in Christ, put off concerning our former conduct. You cannot continue in your former conduct. You can't continue to walk in sin. There are many who think that they can be a Christian and still walk in sin and have their lifestyle in sin, and that is not the case, because you see, when you're in that context of the old man, you continue to more and more grow up in the area of corruption, the dominion, the power of sin, according to the deceitful lust. This is how Paul speaks regarding the condition of those in the realm of the old man, that is, in the realm of their sins. And of course, all the way through this epistle, he has brought this to bear. And so in chapter 2, this is where he says in verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. The world was your focus. The world dictated to you your standard and how you thought and what you did according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Among also, we all once conducted ourselves, because all men, without exception, begin their life in the realm of the old man, that is, of sin, that is, of death spiritually, that is, being dominated by sin. And that conduct shows itself in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, just as others. So this is not something new to him. But you see, this is such a concern to the apostle that he is not at all ashamed, embarrassed, or holds back in repeating time and again what the old man consisted of, because he is telling them that they must put off concerning your former conduct. Now, their conduct is not governed by that deadness in that realm of sin, but as a creature in Christ, there has been a radical break with the past, and there is a new life which characterizes the new man, but there is still some remaining sin within the heart of one who has been radically changed. It is that which is in the realm of God's mercy and grace, whereby as we walk before Him, we are by the Spirit of God now sanctified, and this remaining sin grows weaker and weaker until we see Him face to face, when no more will sin be upon us at all. And so the apostle is not afraid to show and to bring this out time and time again, because the remaining sin that is within us reminds us and has its roots in this former realm, as it were, and it has to be continually mortified and brought to death. And therefore, the tendency of our sinful flesh is to go back to that conduct. Sin tempts us. Sin comes not only in our flesh, but by the devil himself to deny our position in Christ and to deny the Lord and to go back into the realm of death. And we must constantly be working and constantly be aware of our walk. Because, you see, there is no neutral walking by the people of God. It is always a spiritual walking that brings exertion and great effort, as we must be careful regarding the old man. Listen to what the apostle says in Romans chapter 6, for example. And in Romans chapter 6 and in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man, this whole realm of deadness and darkness and dominion of sin, was crucified with Christ. That is, it was put to death. It was put to death as to its power. It was put to death as to the judicial working where we are justified and made right before God. It is taken care of by the work of Christ, so that the body of sin might be done away with, where there is no longer that walking in a dominant, and that walking where we have no understanding, no light whatsoever. No, we've been crucified. That's what the old man has. We no longer are slaves to sin. And that's where Paul picks up here in Romans chapter 6, the whole aspect of being slaves of sin, so that the believer sins, but a believer is not a slave of sin. Sin does not dominate. Sin is not that which raises its head, where it is that which governs our action and our conduct. No. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Not sin completely, that he is sinless, but from the power of that sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. And there is that radical break with that old man. And so he encourages the people of God in verse 23, where he says in Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, so that you have the new man in Christ. Christ is the one that brings you out of the realm of the old man and makes you a new man. But there is that activity that is our responsibility to continually put on that new man that was created according to God. He is the one who's created it. He is the one who has brought it about. He is the one who has saved us. And he has saved us in true righteousness and holiness, because that is the fruit of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he will sanctify his people, that he will make them holy, and having them holy, they will walk according and pleasing in his sight, in his will. That is what the contrast is saying. And when Paul speaks of the new man, he says it's renewed in the spirit of your mind. That is, your very heart, your very being, the way that you think, your whole perspective. It no longer is in the realm of darkness. It no longer is governed by the standards of the world, but by the will of God. And so the apostle says this in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9 of that chapter. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Jesus is all in all. That you have put on the new man. It's renewed in knowledge. You know now, and you see the glory of Christ, and you know what is pleasing before God. And therefore, you are to leave off the old man. You're no longer ignorant. And this is the contrast. So you see, the apostle is not afraid to bring this contrast once again unto us. You were in the realm of the old man. Now you're in the realm of the new man. And being in the realm of the new man, you must constantly be at work of putting off anything that would have to do with that old man, anything that would be that which characterized the old man, because you are totally new, and you must walk in that newness, and that newness is that which is in true righteousness and true holiness. So that, you see, time and again, the apostle is very much concerned with the activity of God's people, putting on righteousness, putting on holiness and truth. You cannot at all be in the realm of the new man if you are governed by all those things that define the old man. It is impossible. And therefore, we must be very careful that we are not deceived, and very careful that we do not fall back into the category of the old man. And of course, grace will keep us. Of course, Christ's redeeming grace is that which once he has brought us to himself, he will make sure by his grace and by his power that we continue in his grace. He never loses one of his people, but they are always in him. And yet, Paul is much aware of the fact that in that context, the people of God must be stirred up from time to time. And so, you see, from verse 17 all the way through verse 24, the apostle is dealing with very sweeping and very general categories, showing the contrast between those who are not partakers of the redemptive work of Christ and those who are. When he comes for the rest of the chapter now, he will again descend even more so into particulars to show what exactly does he mean when we say the old man. What are we talking about when he says the new man? What are we talking about? What are more particular the characteristics? We see what it is in general, and we see what the command is, that we're to put off that sinful conduct, our former conduct. It is that which we must not fall back into. And there is where all of the different areas that God provides for us, the whole area of the relationship between believers that stir each other up to holiness, the area of coming faithfully before our God in prayer, pleading that he would grant us grace. All of these factors we could speak of and will speak of when we get to chapter 5 more clearly. But these two categories are set forth, black and white. And the question always is, what realm are you in? What realm am I in? If we are in the realm of darkness, he says in chapter 2, that we are then by nature the children of wrath. We will experience his judgment, his punishment, his wrath, if we die in our sins as the old man. If we are continued to be blind, there's no newness of life. And that's the great concern, because we know our own heart and we know how much sin is ever before us. We know that it doesn't go a day that we do not sense the sin of our hearts, and it doesn't go a day that we do not cry out and plead for forgiveness because, Lord, I have sinned here, I have sinned there, because you see, our hearts are so prone to do so. So the reminding of the apostle is not something that's just pure repetition. It's not something to fill in space, but he is concerned. And when you see through Ephesians to this point, he is constantly doing this, isn't he? He's constantly contrasting our old man, our old state, with the new man. And interjected in all of that is that he brings out the beauty of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of God, the mercy of God. When we read in chapter 2 in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. Therefore, you see, you're not in the realm of the old man. Now you're in the realm of the new man. It's all because of grace. It's all because of God's mercy. And it's all found in Christ alone. That's the only way that a man or a woman may come into the realm of the new man. You can't do it yourself. You can't do it by any works, but it is totally by grace. And this is what the apostle marvels at. So he says in Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding richness of his grace. And we see that. We see that within our own hearts. We're in the realm of the new man. And sin is not the governing principle at all here. We see that we have longings and we have a heart that runs after God, a heart that desires to please Him, and a life that is rich in the effects and benefits of God's grace and of His mercy, saving us through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, not of works. We can't boast at all. Because why? Verse 10, Ephesians 2, we are His workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus. And we're created for good works, which means that we will exhibit good works. We will perform. We will walk as a new man. But we must, as it were, constantly be reminded and on guard and watchful that we do not at all go back to the conduct of the old man. So this is what the apostle is saying here in Ephesians 4. You've learned Christ. You've heard Him. You've been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. And this is what you've been taught. This is what you have learned, that you are to put off the former conduct, that which grows corrupt, and you're to renew your spirit and put on the new man that is created according to God. This is what you have been faithfully taught, and sad to say that in our day that is not taught. Sad to say, in our day, you rarely hear regarding any preacher, and not many preachers, I should say, who are preaching, where they are pressing to the people of God that in their new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a relationship that takes care and careful care that we do not walk, as it were, in our former conduct, but that we are constantly putting sin to death. We are constantly reforming. We are constantly growing. And that is so often not even begin to be taught. And so you have many who have but a name, and yet they are dead regarding the spirit within. May God stir our hearts that you and I be conscious of the fact of putting off the former conduct. Do we at all examine ourselves daily to see what is it today? How am I conducting myself today? Have I conducted myself according to the new man, or am I conducting myself according unto the old man? How much of the old man is still there? What's my conduct like? So that each day we are assessing, each day we are looking, each day we are aware regarding our walk. And that being the case, then, when we are sensitive to our own state, it will be, by God's grace, much easier to look at the new man and to be renewed in the spirit and to walk in what God has created us in Christ to walk. True righteousness, true holiness. May God grant to us that spirit of holiness. And may it be that each one of us would be found in the realm of the new man. Only Christ, Christ alone. And so we could ask, if we were to go back to what Paul says, but you have not so learned Christ. We could go back and say, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? And do you know Him personally? Have you had an experience of being transformed from darkness to light? Not whether you know facts about Him, not whether you've heard of Him, but whether you have been renewed by Him, changed by Him, born again by Him. And these are the qualities and these are the evidences of God's grace within the life. Christ and Christ alone is the only one that transfers sinners from the realm of the old man to the realm of the new man. May we all be found in Him, shall we pray. Our Father, we thank You so much for the way that You are clear in Your Word, the way that You show us, Lord, black and white as to what it means to be in You and what it means to be apart from You, the old man, the new man. Lord, we plead that all would be renewed, all would be in the realm of the new man. And this is the power of Your gospel as it goes forth, that it is saving in nature and that You bring us, Lord, to Yourself. May it be that You would stir in our hearts, that we would assess, that we would look and see. And may it be that we are constantly putting off our old conduct and always putting on being renewed in the spirit of the mind. We plead, O Lord, for Your grace. We plead for Your mercy, that You would make us holy men and women. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.